sing because I'm happy. And I can sing because I'm free. Do you feel that way this morning? Do you feel the love of Christ in your life this morning? Do you feel overwhelmed by His love today? I hope that you do. We've been talking about fellowship the last couple of weeks, and we're going to continue to look at fellowship today. We're going to look at some select scriptures out of Acts chapter 4 and Acts chapter 5 and Acts chapter 6 today as we talk about Satan hates godly fellowship. And the reason we're talking about that is because we need to be aware of that. We need to be aware that when the fellowship of the church begins to get right, when the fellowship of the church begins to be what God wants it to be, Satan is going to do anything and everything within his power to stop it. I've been watching things over the past few months, and good things are happening at Wilsonville Baptist Church. Would y'all agree with that? Do you feel the fellowship growing? Do you feel the love? I hope you do. It's exciting to see as people are coming together to pray and working together towards making this a great weekend. But it's, you know, we've got to realize that, you know, the weekend's only going to be what we allow God to do with it in our lives. But He begins the work before and He continues it after. And this is just a weekend to try to help us to get on the right track and stay there. Fellowship is important in our lives. Satan hates godly fellowship. He wants to tear it apart. He wants us to keep us from being the men and women of God that He wants us to be. He wants us not to be able to share together, to love each other, to minister to each other, to see the needs of each other. He wants us to focus on self. And he's gonna do some things. And we're gonna see in the early church where as they were beginning to see God work and they were seeing people coming to know Jesus as their Savior, they began to see the attacks that come. They begin to see the conflict that takes place, and they have to deal with it. They have to deal with it in a godly way to allow God to be seen and God to be glorified in all that's going on. So let's go ahead and pick up in Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Luke writes, "As they were speaking to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to them, being greatly disturbed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in jail until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the message believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes were gathered together in Jerusalem. And Annas, the high priest, was there, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and all who were of high priestly descent." We see here Satan is attacking from outside the church. The church is made up of those people who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ, believing that He's been to the cross, that He was died on that cross, that He was placed in the grave. 3 days later, He rose from the grave. He ascended to heaven with a promise of His return. This makes up the church, all those who believe. But there were a lot of religious leaders in the community that did not believe this. And they wanted to stop what was going on. They didn't want people coming to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They wanted to keep it from happening. Folks, we see that all the time today, don't we? We see folks trying to stop the church. They want to sound good. They want to look good. They want their message to be one that people can appreciate and will listen to. But they're turning against Jesus and trying to turn people against Jesus and trying to stop the church from preaching Jesus. We see it in court rulings. We see it in debates that take place. People want to say, you can talk about Jesus inside your building, but don't talk about Jesus outside the building. But God has a different message for us, doesn't He? But they're trying to stop it. They're trying to keep things from happening. And a lot of times people get a little intimidated and get afraid to take that next step and do the things that need to be done. But Satan attacks from outside the church, and he was using religious leaders here. The religious leaders, that they attacked. They were threatening the church with their power. And religious leaders in that day had a lot of power, and people listened to them and followed them. They were using threats. Do you ever hear threats about the gospel? They're all around us today. These folks were hearing a message that said, you know, if you preach this, you're going to be an outcast. You're not going to be recognized. You're not going to be able to keep doing this. We've got to stop this. They were threatened by these leaders were threatened because their way of doing things had all of a sudden changed. The way that they did things, the status that they had in society, the way people looked at them, it was changing because of Jesus. And they did not want Jesus to be preached. They didn't want people to be bold enough to stand up and talk about Him. People were turning from their religious rituals. Do we ever get into a habit of religious rituals? We do things just because we've always done them. Basically is what we're saying here. Doing things just because we've always done. We've always done it that way. It's got to be the right way. There can't be any other way because that's the way we've done it. That's the way we're going to do it. And that's the way these folks were. So they were throwing out their threats. And they were commanding them to stop preaching Jesus. They were telling them, you can't do it. You just can't do it. But did you see what the Scripture said in Acts chapter 4? With all that's going on, he said 5,000 men got saved. It doesn't say anything about women and children that got saved. It's kind of like the thousands that got fed by the loaves and the fish. 5,000 men got saved. There could have been upwards of 20,000 people getting saved because the church was continuing to stand up and be the church. They were willing to be bold in the face of oppression. They were willing to be bold in the face of persecution. They were willing to stand up and be the men and women of God, even though the world was standing up around them and saying, no, you can't do this. The church responded in the right ways. Now, let's look at verse 31 here in chapter 4. In verse 31, it says, the Bible says, and when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word with boldness. The church responded. Now let's take a look at what they did not do first. What they did not do was put together a committee. They did not call the church together to say, let's put a committee together and see what we ought to do in this situation. Let's put a committee together and see how we can get this worked out. Let's put a committee together and see if they can figure out the right way to handle this situation. They didn't need a committee. Why didn't they need a committee? Because they had God. They had the leadership of the Holy Spirit. What happens when we put a committee together many times? Things slow down. Sometimes they come to a stop. Sometimes we don't get anything done. Folks, here's the thing. We don't need committees to help us decide to do what God in His Word has already told us to do. Can we agree on that? I hope we can agree on that. Now, a lot of times we're sitting there, and a lot of you are looking at me like, but we've got committees. We've always had committees. We can't do without committees. Folks, they did not need a committee to decide to do what God said to do. They turned to God, they prayed to God, and then they acted accordingly. And people were saved. They moved forward with boldness in the name of Jesus Christ. Not because the committee said it was okay, but because God said it was okay. They were following God's leadership. They were following God's guidance in what was being done. They didn't get together and say, hey, this is happening, so let's put this committee together over here, and we're going to let them meet for 6 months, and then they're going to come back with some kind of a proposal for us, and then we'll look at that proposal, and we'll see if there's any changes that need to be made to that proposal. And after a year or two, when all this comes together, we'll vote on it and decide if we're going to... They just came together, and they did what needed to be done. They moved in the name of Jesus Christ. They turned to God for boldness. They knew they needed boldness. It's a scary thing many times to stand up when authority says don't. And God says do. And we've got to make a decision. Am I going to listen to God or am I going to listen to man? Am I going to do things God's way or am I going to do things man's way? And we've got to make that choice in our lives. And they decided that they were going to step up and be bold in who they were in Christ. In verse 32 it says, And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. And with great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all. The church overcomes. The church overcomes. There's an outside attack on the church, and the church overcomes. Now, how do they overcome? They overcome by surrendering to Jesus. They came together in unity. They came together in unity. They didn't come together saying, hey, I've got this idea, and this other one says, I've got this idea, and the church has to decide between the two. They came together and they said, we need to look to God. We need to follow God's leadership. God's told us how to handle this. We need to handle it in a godly way. They surrendered their life, their church, to Jesus. Folks, that's what Wilsonville Baptist Church needs to do. We need to come together and surrender this church to Jesus. His authority, His leadership, His guidance. We live by His Word. We follow Him. Folks, it's a wonderful way of doing things, and the early church gives us the example. They were given a bold testimony. They were given a bold testimony. They took the opportunity that the world around them was saying, stop, and they were standing up, and don't you know people took notice of that? People took notice. They noticed what was going on. They noticed what the church was doing, and people were responding to it. They were coming to follow Jesus and to listen to Him and hearing the testimony. Folks, you've got a testimony. You need to be bold in sharing that testimony with the world of what Jesus Christ has done for you. And we have a bold testimony from this church of what God has done in this church through the years. And how God has brought us to the point where we are today. And the opportunities that we have in front of us as we continue to move forward in godly fellowship. Folks, Satan attacks from outside the church, but Satan also attacks by invading the church. Look in chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Luke writes in the Bible here, "But a man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property and kept back some of the price for himself with his wife's full knowledge. And bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God." And as he heard these words, Ananias fell down and breathed his last. And great fear came over all who heard it. The young men got up and covered him up, and after carrying him out, they buried him. Now that there elapsed an interval of about 3 hours, and his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter responded to her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for such and such a price." And she said, "Yes, that was the price." Then Peter said to her, "Why is it that you have agreed together to put the Spirit of the Lord to the test? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out as well." And immediately she fell at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Satan attacks by invading the church. Hypocrisy attacked the church here. Now, we've heard of hypocrites. Can't get the words out. We've heard of hypocrites. And there are a lot of hypocrites. And people talk about hypocrites. And these are what we see here, Ananias and Sapphira. They tried to put up on a show for the church. They tried to put on a show in front of others. And they wanted to give the appearance that they were very notable and sacrificial. What they were saying to the church was, hey, look at us. Look at all that we're giving. We've sold our everything we have, and we brought it all to the church. We're giving it all. But they weren't. Now, folks, what we're going to get to here is this. God knows, okay? God knows our hearts. He knows the things that we're doing. He knows the things about what we're doing. God knows these things. But they were sitting there saying, hey, look at us. Look at how great we are. They had taken their offering, and instead of making it about God, they had made it about self. They had taken their offering, and instead of making it about what God could do and how God could work and giving it to God for His honor and glory, they had begun to make it about self. Look at me. Look at my life. Look at how I'm giving. Look, and they wanted everybody to pat them on the back. They'd seen it before, and they wanted some of that. They wanted folks to like them and pat them on the back. They wanted their money to be used in a way that brought them honor and glory, that brought it to self. Folks, we have that today. Y'all realize that? I've had people come to me before, and they have told me this, Pastor, you need to know where that money comes from. You need to know who's giving that money. And I know exactly what they're saying. You need to work everything out around us because we're the ones who are the main givers in the church. So you do what we want. And folks, I hope I never give in to that kind of pressure. I hope I never give in to doing something because somebody says, I'm more important. Because, folks, you're no more important than anybody else in this church. I'm no more important than anybody else in this church. And we need to grasp the reality of that. We need to grasp that God has this in control. And God knows our hearts. God knows who we are and how we live and the things about our life. He knows if we're wanting to give Him the honor and glory. Ananias and Sapphira were trying to give the appearance of being totally committed. Problem here is this. God is allowing the church to know. He's allowing the leaders to know what's going on. I'm going to grab this other mic. He's going to...
You know, so many times we get into that habit of thinking that we are more important. But God always knows. And because God knows, God protected the church. God had His eyes on what was going on. God was not surprised. God was not taken off guard. God knew what to do, and he did it at that point. Folks, hypocrisy sticks out. And it doesn't...
And God dealt with it here, and He dealt with it with death. And in this, what I want to encourage you to do, don't play games with God. Don't play games with God. Okay? God knows your heart. God never asked them to do what they were trying to do. He never asked them to give everything that they had. Peter even told them, wasn't it all yours before you sold it? God didn't ask them to do that. It was something that they decided to do so that they could gain some attention and some notoriety. But the church overcomes. They've got a situation going on. Things are happening here. Probably a lot of people are kind of taken aback by the things that have just happened. Their mouths are probably open just a little bit. But this is what happened. The church listened to God. Folks, we need to listen to God. We need to listen to what His Word has to tell us. We can learn a lot through the Word of God. Would y'all agree with that? Everything about who we are as Christians should come through the Word of God. Would y'all agree with that? Led by His Holy Spirit. Listen to God. They talked to God. They prayed. They prayed. They talked to God, and that's what praying is. We talk to God. We listen to God. And sometimes we get the first part of that, but okay, or the second part of that. We're okay talking to God, but we have to learn to listen to God. We have to learn to open up our ears and listen through His Word and be led by His Spirit, because He will teach us and help us as we grow and as we face these situations, how to handle the situations that are coming up. And in that, listening to God and talking to God, they learn to live for God. They learn to live for God in a way that was pleasing to Him and would show His honor and glory. And we continue to see people coming to the church to be saved because their lives are right. And they're continuing to strive to be the men and women of God that He would have them to be. Let's pick up in chapter 6 because Satan's not quite done yet. Beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, "Now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. So the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, 'It is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word.' The statement found approval with the whole congregation, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. And these they brought before the apostles, and after praying, they laid their hands on them." Now we see some great things taking place as they do this work. Verse 7 says, "The word of God kept on spreading, and the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith." Satan attacks from inside the church sometimes. And folks, that's a sad thing to grasp a hold of, but sometimes Satan uses church members to cause problems in the church. And that's what's happening in this situation. Complaining arose. Now, I'm glad we're a part of a Baptist church because we never complain here, do we? Complaining arose. One group of ladies was upset because another group of ladies was getting more attention. And they were the ones that were being taken care of more. And so they were feeling neglected. And when we begin to feel neglected, we can get to that point where we begin to think, well, nobody cares about me. They just care about them. Nobody's looking at what's going on in my life. All they're doing is looking at what's going on with them. Nobody realizes that I'm hungry, too. And all of a sudden, it becomes a me, I. And we begin to pick sides. You ever seen that? We begin to complain to our friends and they say, "You know, you're right. You're right. Something does need to change." And so we begin to join sides and all of a sudden there's this side against this side and the unity of the church is being destroyed. And Satan's having a little party. He's having a little party because the church is beginning to fuss and fight with each other. And something has to be done. But they were feeling neglected. They were acting immature. It was me first. Me first. Look at me. Look at my needs. Look at what's going on in my life. Now, what does Jesus teach us to do? To put ourselves last and others first. Jesus teaches us always to put others before ourselves. Jesus teaches us to be the servant and not look to be the one being served. Now, if we open our eyes around us, we realize that we are all served much more than we deserve to be. And we can all serve in greater ways than we ever have before. But the complaining arose. When complaining arose, fellowship was broken. Fellowship was broken just like that. Everything's going along good. Everything's going along wonderful, and all of a sudden, it's not. Everybody's loving each other until all of a sudden somebody begins to think, "Oh, they're getting more loving than I'm getting. Somebody's caring about them more than they're caring about me," and the fellowship gets broken. And what began to happen? Well, first of all, spiritual growth began to decline. The focus was taken off the Word of God. The focus was taken off of prayer. The focus was taken off of serving each other. And the focus was putting on self. The focus was putting on the complaining and the fussing and the griping. The focus went from God to individuals. And spiritual growth began to decline. When spiritual growth began to decline, soul winning began to decline. Rather than being out in the world sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ the way that they were supposed to be, they were sitting there fussing and fighting among themselves. And then fussing and fighting among themselves, people would look at that and say, hey, I don't want to be a part of that. I don't want to be a part of that fussing and fighting. I want to be a part of that griping and complaining. I'm going to go over here and get away from all that. Because the Bible teaches us that the unity of the church in the gospel of Jesus Christ will draw people to Him. But that lack of unity meant soul winning had stopped and turmoil had started. Now, guys, I'm going to say this. I'm going to put my head down. I'm not going to look at anybody because I don't want anybody to think I'm talking about them. You know if you fit in this category or not. But this turmoil was started by a bunch of old ladies. This turmoil was started by folks that should have been mature, that should have been leading and loving and caring. But here we have a bunch of old ladies who said, I'm not getting what I want. This is not what I signed up for. Now, have you ever been there? I'm going to look up now. Is that okay? Have you ever been there? We get there sometimes. This is not what I signed up. This is not what I thought it was going to be. This is harder than I thought. This takes more effort than I thought. And all the turmoil is going on, and people are fussing and fighting, and something had to be done. And we see the church responding once again. The church overcomes. They call deacons. They call deacons to come and step in to handle the turmoil, to help people feel loved and to help them move beyond complaining and get back to loving and serving. Sometimes we need help getting there, don't we? Sometimes we don't like that. Sometimes we want to stew a little while. We want to be upset for a little while. We want to be mad. But we need to step back and allow God to do His things. They call the deacons to serve, to wait tables, as the term depicts, to help people deal with issues in God's way and in God's time. To step back and realize that God has a plan here. And the church needs to follow it. The church needs to get on the same page with God. So the leaders of the church did what they were supposed to do. They kept Jesus as the main emphasis. The main emphasis. The main emphasis of the church is Jesus. And folks, if you don't realize it, if you haven't got a grasp of this yet, understand this. It's not you. And it's not me. We are here for Jesus. We are here to bring Him honor and glory. We are here to lift Him up and praise His name. It's all about Him. And when we can get that straight in our minds, then we can move forward. Because what began to happen is as the complaints were addressed in a godly way, things began to move forward in the ways that they were supposed to. It lets us know in the Word of God here, the Word of God increased. People began to grow spiritually again. People began to grow closer to each other again. They studied the Word of God together and grew in the Word of God together. They realized the importance of studying it, learning it, and learning to live it in the ways that needed to. The number of disciples multiplied, it says. And we talked about disciples not too long ago. What is a disciple? A Jesus follower. In this sense, it is a Jesus follower. If you choose to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, you are a follower of Jesus. You want your life to look like Him. You are trying to model your life after Jesus Christ in serving, in loving, in caring, in forgiving, in every way. We are to model our lives after Jesus Christ. They began to see disciples multiplied. People were following Jesus. And what that means, too, is this. Jesus was saving people. People were being saved. People were coming to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Because to be a Jesus follower, you have to know Jesus. You don't just know about Jesus. You know Jesus. You know Jesus in such a real way that you have surrendered your life and your heart to Him. That you surrendered everything about who you are so that when people look at your life, they see Jesus shining through. That's the goal. That is the goal. Now, that doesn't happen all the time in any one of our lives, but it should happen quite often. People should be able to look at our lives and see the love of Jesus shining through in everything that is going on. Folks, we've got to realize this. Satan's going to attack. The more we strive to do what God wants us to do, Satan is going to attack it. He's going to try to destroy it. He's going to try to keep the church from making a difference for Jesus Christ. He does not want this community around us to be saved. He does not want this community around us to gain a relationship with God. Satan wants to interfere in everything that we try to do that will lead others to Him, to God. And folks, we've got to be ready. We've got to be prepared. It takes prayer. It takes Bible study. It takes encouragement from each other. We're supposed to be fighting Satan side by side. In the spiritual war that's going on, we're supposed to be a team together, a unit together, unified in the blood of Jesus Christ, prepared and ready for what's coming. And you say, well, how can we be ready? Satan's going to surprise us, but he's not going to surprise God. If our hearts are prepared with God, we're going to be looking for Satan. We need to be ready. Do you know Him today? Do you know Jesus in your heart today? Do you know that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ that will never, ever end? Folks, He died for you on that cross. He longs to be in your life and your heart. I encourage you today, surrender your heart to Jesus today and accept the love and forgiveness that He gives to you as a free gift. In just a few moments, I'm going to be here at the front. There are others around this room today. We'd love to talk with you about that relationship, about what the Bible says. Christians, we need to take a look at what's going on. We need to look at and ask ourselves a question, am I fighting the battle? Am I prepared for what's coming? Am I spiritually strong? Am I working with other Christians? Am I loving and am I serving? Are there things that need to change about what's going on in my life right now so that I can be the man or woman of God that He longs for me to be? Look, sometimes God wants us to put down some things that we think are very good, but God says, I've got something better. What about it? I invite you to come to this altar, maybe come sit on the front pew. Whatever you feel like God is leading you to do today, but let's let God lead and let's follow this morning. Father, as we come before You, we praise You once again for Your love and Your presence here. We thank You for how You're speaking. And Father, for every individual in this room right now, I pray that You would touch our hearts. Father, as we look at the message today from Your Word, I pray that You'll help us to allow that message to speak in a very real and powerful way. Change our hearts and help us to be more like You every day in all that we're doing. God, let Your will be done at this time and forgive us, God, for where we fail You. We ask all this in Your name. Amen. As we stand together and we sing, You come.